When two extraordinarily powerful forces meet, the result can change the landscape forever. Wind and fire combine and burn away decades of dead brush, clearing the way for fresh new growth to emerge. Two streams unite and forge a river that creates and sustains new life along its banks for hundreds, even thousands of years. To describe the two individuals you're about to meet as forces of nature is no overstatement. And if you allow it to, their connection will renew and transform the landscape of your life in the most miraculous ways imaginable. Hello, I'm Sandy Gallagher, President and CEO of the Life Success Group of Companies, and I am thrilled and honored to welcome you to this landmark collaboration between two of the greatest thinkers and teachers of our time, Bob Proctor and Mary Morrissey. It would be impossible to estimate how many lives have been positively impacted by Bob Proctor over the past 40 years. His simple yet remarkable message, "You were born rich with the power to create exactly the life you want," strikes a chord with almost everyone who hears it. And through his books and seminars, personal coaching programs, television and film appearances, that number is in the millions. The timeless truth of Bob's message and the amazing effectiveness of his methods, and I can personally attest to both, have set him apart. Today, he's one of the most influential, respected, and in-demand figures in the entire personal development field. Over the past 30 years, Mary Mannon Morrissey has traveled a parallel path, approaching many of the same issues, self-empowerment, prosperity, and personal success, from a distinctly spiritual perspective. Mary's singular gifts of charisma, compassion, and communication have made her one of the leading lights of the human potential movement. She has shared stages and exchanged ideas with some of the most important and influential leaders in the world, including His Holiness, the Dalai Lama, and Nelson Mandela. And like Bob, her books, speeches, seminars, film, and television appearances have positively impacted millions. Amazingly, these two stars circled each other's orbits for years without ever actually meeting. Then on a fateful day nearly 10 years ago, stars collided. Through the persistence of a mutual friend, Bob and Mary finally sat down to breakfast together and shook hands for the first time. The connection they felt in that moment was instantaneous, electric, and profound. True magic flowed out of that first conversation. And in the decades since, the magic has never stopped flowing. We've created this program to capture and share with you the brilliance, insight, and incredible wisdom that are spontaneously generated whenever these two great minds and hearts come together. Over the next six sessions, Bob and Mary are going to introduce you to some of the most exciting, earth-shaking, and truly life-changing ideas you've ever heard. As you listen, your imagination will be ignited and your intuition electrified. Your will is going to be strengthened and your memory expanded. Your reason will be sharpened and your powers of perception expanded to an unprecedented degree. In the end, you will have discovered that you were born with six extraordinary gifts. And with that discovery, you will know without a doubt that you have in your possession everything you need to create everything you want. Even better, you will already be well on your way to making it happen. The first gift may be the single most potent thing you possess, a tool whose full, extraordinary power you haven't even begun to unleash. Without this gift, nothing is possible. With it, anything is. In this first session, Bob and Mary will awaken you to the full magnificence of this wondrous gift. You'll discover how to understand and manage this gift so that it's always serving your highest goals and desires, always moving you closer to the life you truly want to be living. And now, here are Bob Proctor and Mary Morrissey.
I found years ago that there was only two sources of reference I could go to find out anything about myself. One was science and the other's theology. The minute I sat down with Mary Morrissey, there was an instant connection on a very deep level. I had never met a woman that had studied into theology to the depth that she had studied. She has since become my spiritual guide. She always says something. It's like she cracks an egg every time she opens her mouth. There's just a beautiful idea flows out of it. And I know you're going to feel this way as you take the time to go through these messages over and over and over again. And I know you're going to want to do that. You're going to build a very strong rapport with this woman. I want you to know that I feel honored being able to be here working with her right now.
Thank you, Bob Proctor. I've been in this study for over 40 years, and there's not another human being I know on the planet who has more acute understanding of how you tap into the power that is within every one of us and use that in constructive ways to bring more aliveness, to make a greater difference, to make a greater contribution, to extend the good you have beyond your own presence. The mastery, skills, and the understanding of the mind and the ability to translate deep understandings of the universe and the great esoteric teachings and modern science into very usable understanding for you and me. There is nobody on the planet more aware and more gifted than Bob Proctor, and I feel a deep sense of honor and gratitude to be here with you, Mr. Proctor.
Thank you, Mary. We're going to be taking people on a trip within themselves, really, and it won't really matter who they are. It could be a senior executive that may be confronted with quite a serious challenge. It might be a young single mother with two or three children, maybe a salesperson that is really stuck and they can't see how they can get those sales going. Could be just an entrepreneur or an ordinary business individual who is sort of feeling lost. They just can't get anywhere. I see what we're going to do here, meeting their need and creating an awareness for them. Does that fit with you?
Absolutely, because you and I got into this material at that kind of point in our life.
We were totally lost.
Yeah, we were.
We started with less than nothing. So it doesn't matter where you are, if you're listening to this and you have a desire to make things happen, they're going to happen. We're going to lay a solid foundation here. I'm going to share some information that I've been studying since 1968, and some people feel it's a little deep. Well, I'm going to take you down there into the depths. I'm going to get away from the shallows where the minnows are. We're going to get out into the deep where things really happen and it's much more beautiful. And you're going to find, as you move along and through the repetition of hearing this information, you're going to want to come back and you're going to listen to it over and over and over again because it's going to take on new meaning every day. In commencing with this course of instruction on how to dig in and move into that part of your mind where these incredible elements reside, part of your personality that you can use to accomplish anything that you desire or dream of. It's somewhat difficult to really fix upon the best method of opening up on this subject. We could approach it from many different sides, each with some peculiar advantage of its own. But after careful deliberation, it appears to me that for the purpose of this information that we're going to share with you, no better starting point could be selected than the relationship between spirit and matter. Now, what do I mean by that? I'm talking about the non-physical world and the physical world. I'm talking about the thoughts that flow into your consciousness and possibly the garden rock that's sitting in your flower bed. There's two completely different elements of life: thought, non-physical, rocks or stones laying in a garden. They're all part of our world. Our thoughts are, and so are those stones laying in the garden. Now, I select this starting point because the distinction, or what we believe to be such, between them is one which we're so familiar with that I safely assume it's recognition by everyone. Everyone understands we have thoughts, and everyone's picked up a stone out of a garden. We can all relate to both of these. But the natural opposition between the two, one we refer to as living spirit, possibly, and the other as dead matter. That might not mean a lot to you right at this point, but I guarantee you as we get into this, it is going to mean something. See, these terms express our current impression of the opposition between the non-physical world and the physical world. With sufficient accuracy, and considered only from that point of view of outward appearance, this impression is no doubt correct. There's definite difference between what you cannot see and what you can see. The non-physical world, the spiritual world that all major religions have talked about for centuries, and then the physical world that we're all a part of. We do live in a physical body and we correspond with the physical world. The general consensus of mankind is right in trusting the evidence of our senses. See, we do live through our senses. We go by what we hear, see, smell, taste, and touch. And any system which tells us that we are not to do so, it's never going to obtain a permanent footing in a sane and a healthy community. This is the world. This is it. There's nothing wrong in the evidence conveyed to a healthy mind by the senses. But the point where error creeps in is when we come to judge the meaning of this testimony. We're accustomed to judge only by external appearances. That's our world. That's one we live in. By certain limited significance, which we attach to words. But when we begin to inquire into the real meaning of our words and to analyze the causes which gives rise to the appearance of things as we see them, we find our old notions gradually falling off from us. Until at last, we wake up to the fact that we're living in an entirely different world to that which we formerly recognized. Mary, would you agree with that, that the general consensus of mankind is right in trusting just what we see? We just go by our senses. We live through our senses. And we've never used those higher faculties consciously and deliberately.
No, because we weren't aware of them. And the person who's listening to this right now, you're going to wake up. You're going to find out that you've been living in a world that is limited, and you're going to feel like you've moved into a whole new world. It's exactly how I felt. I felt like I'd been living in a dark attic, and this information helped me find my way to the front door, and I opened it up, and it was a technical world that I had the ability to translate and live in, and I really could take the thoughts, the dreams that I had in my mind and heart. And there was a system by which those became the reality of my life. It operated by law. And as I began to understand these laws and study them, then the ability for me personally to translate what I would love to have into what I did experience and the way I was able to do what I wanted to do and go where I wanted to go and give what I wanted to give, not only was something I thought about, but something that became mine. Now, why is it that if it looks like a bad economy to a lot of people, still, there are people who are having huge wins in that while other people are not in the same marketplace, in the same business. So it's not in the marketplace. It's not in the business. The source of the result is not in the world. But until we begin to understand that, we really look to our circumstances. And that's what this introductory piece is about. It's about the recognition that life is not happening to us. So for whatever reason you thought you got this program in your hand, there's something in you that is seeking for your life to get better, for your life to be more expansive, for the dreams that are in your heart to really become the reality of your life. And that's what this program is about. Before we're done, Bob and I will introduce you to the 6 gifts that have been given to you by the universe, by Spirit itself, for how to bring forth the potential that is in you to make your dreams, to live the life you'd love to live, and have it really be your life. There are 6 gifts. Most of us never even understand this, and even if we do begin to understand it, we misuse the powers that are ours to create and to create a life that would really make a difference.
As we talk here about these 2 different worlds, there's the non-physical that I related to thought, the energy that's flowing into your consciousness, and then the physical world, like we take a look at a piece of concrete or a garden rock, and we say, well, it's not moving, it's not going anywhere. And we see it as 2 totally different worlds. In fact, there was a song, 2 different worlds we live in. And in the lyrics of the song, it ends up pointing out that our 2 different worlds are one. We're going to see a whole new world that we can step into. Because we're going to deal with higher faculties that you possess and that you do use from time to time, but for the most part, the masses use them unconsciously, if and when at all, and they frequently use them in the wrong direction. Our objective is to help you understand each one of these beautiful mental faculties that we've been gifted with, these faculties that separate us from all of the rest of the animal kingdom, and we're going to understand how to use them. I want you to think of this for a moment. Do you know we're the only creature on the planet that is completely disoriented in our environment? All the rest of the little creatures are completely at home in their environment. They blend in with their environment. But you and I don't. We don't blend in. And that's because we can create our own environment. Now, that's a beautiful thing to know. We can create the world we want to live in. We've been given the creative tools. We are creative beings. And Mary, I don't know about you, but when I first really felt I had a grip on that, I was so excited. I have felt like walking around ever since then, and this goes way back to the early 60s, just saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. I mean, it's such a beautiful thing to know.
It is a beautiful thing to know, and to recognize that every single day is like a lifetime in miniature. We get the power of creating a day, and you string those together, and you've got a life that was lived the way you really wanted to live that life.
This information that you are a part of right now is without question the most important information you will ever gather, anywhere, at any time. It's about you, and it's about your creative faculties and what you can do with them. And we will give you some exercises, and we're going to explain these higher faculties. And understand this, by the time you finish going through this program, you're going to like you so much better. Because the truth is, the real you is so absolutely incredible, you're going to want to kiss yourself. You're just going to want to say, oh, wow. And you'll know how good you are as you begin to use these great faculties. Now, Mary, there's one that everyone uses, and unfortunately, they use it in the wrong way more often than not, through worry and fear. And this great mental faculty takes them off to a place they really don't want to go, and they don't have to go. And when we learn that we can use it, and we can use it for everything we want in life, I would say the person worlds change at that moment. Would you agree?
Absolutely.
Let's get into it right at this moment, and we'll make this the first one that we want to talk about.
What we're doing here is we're giving you access to 6 gifts that you didn't go get. They were given to you just as surely as a body and breath and spirit were given to you. You didn't create yourself. Right now, something magnificent is happening with each one of us. It's this thing called life. And because we have life, we have access to all that life offers us. We've been created in the image and the likeness of the one who gives us life, which is these mental faculties, these abilities. So you used this first one really well when you were a kid. When we were kids, we went into this realm and we tried on possible futures. We thought of ourselves as firemen or as ballerinas or as astronauts or as race car drivers or whatever it was we wanted to put on and try out. We lived in the land of a free imagination. And our imaginations were vivid and bright and exciting places to go to inside our own minds. And then usually about first grade, and certainly longer as we stay in our training systems, our imagination gets muted and it gets trained almost out of us. And even though we still have an imaging faculty and we still are using images, most often we're imaging what we don't want to have happen. Our child isn't home and it's 3 hours past our expectation of our child coming home. We start imagining ditches and we start imagining fire trucks or all kinds of things. And we don't even know the power of the dimension of mind that we have access to. When we begin to realize that every single thing you can see has been created twice. First it was a thought before it became a thing. And this domain, this realm of imagination where you are an image maker, every single one of us, we're making images all the time. What we imagine with our minds immediately The search engine of the mind, just like your search engine of your computer, as soon as you put it in your imagination, it's as if you've written right into the search engine of your internet. It goes searching for everything like the imagined picture you have just held. And it doesn't distinguish between something you really do want and something you really don't want. It goes to work on the pictures that you are focusing on. So we're going to talk now about how it is that you use this great faculty. Imagine yourself into any possible future you would like. There's an infinite number of possible futures and a lesser number of futures that you will probably allow yourself to imagine into. But for a moment, just allow yourself to think, what would a life look like that I would love to live? What does it look like? What am I doing? Who am I with? What am I giving? What am I creating? Do I travel? Do I live by the ocean, by the water? Do I have a pool? Am I able to give to my kids? What kind of service do I do in the world? Imagine, just like when you were a little kid and you thought, I'm going to be a fireman.
You know, Mary, since 1961, I have been a daily student of Napoleon Hill. He said the imagination is the workshop of the mind. And he also pointed out it's the fifth step towards riches. He explained the imagination is literally the workshop wherein are fashioned all plans created by man. The impulse, the desire, is given shape, form, and action through the aid of the imaginative faculty of the mind. It has been said that you and I can create anything that we can imagine. Where do you think the internet came from? Where do you think air flight came from? Where do you think the plastic bottle that we put water in came from, or the electric light, or the watch? How about your shoelaces? Think of this, the toothbrush, your electric razor, or the little brush you put your eye makeup on with. It all came from the imagination. Hill pointed out, our only limitation within reason lies in our development and use of our imagination. You want to realize that you have this marvelous mental tool. You will never see it. It's tucked away in the storehouse of your mind. It'll sit there doing nothing until you call it into action, and then it'll do whatever you ask it to do. You can build a picture of yourself doing anything. There are no limits. Absolutely none. And what one person thinks is impossible, the other person's off doing. One's using the imagination effectively, and the other's not. Hill said there are two forms of imagination. One is known as synthetic imagination, and the other as creative imagination. Now, he went on to explain the synthetic imagination. Through this faculty, one may arrange old concepts, ideas, or plans into new combinations. And he says the faculty creates nothing. It doesn't create anything. It merely works with the material of experience, education, and observation with which it is fed. It is the faculty used most by the inventor, with the exception of the genius, who draws upon the creative imagination when he cannot solve his problem through synthetic imagination. Now, we'll talk about the creative imagination in just a moment, but I want you to imagine the first chair that was ever made was, of course, made with the creative imagination, but every chair that was ever made since then has been made with the synthetic imagination. A person looked at the chair first and thought, well, I could put another chair beside it, and then somebody I love could sit next to me. We might call that a love seat. Then we want a chair for a baby, so we call that a high chair. Or we get in our office and we've got to keep moving the chair to turn around to our credenza. So now we've got a swivel chair. Then we've got rocking chairs. And on we go. They're all useful. We've all used them. But understand, they were all created with the synthetic imagination. Now, I'm using my synthetic imagination all the time. We can take anything we've got and improve upon it through the use of that synthetic imagination. Now, when we talk about the creative imagination, through this faculty, the creative imagination, the finite mind of man has direct communication with infinite intelligence. Wow. That's a mouthful, you've got to admit. Mary, before I even go on with this, I want you to comment on that, because that might be out of the ballpark for that lady that has three kids that halfway through high school, found herself having a family, and has never really studied very much, but she's trying to make it. And now she's hearing me say that her mind can communicate with infinite intelligence. She might not even know what that means.
That's right. Well, I didn't, and I was that young mom, and that's when I came upon this information. And before this program is over, I'm going to tell you a story about one exact such young mom with two little kids and living in a very small place, struggling, who began to do some of the practices that we're going to bring to you in this program. And you're going to see how completely, radically up-leveled her life became in a very, very short time, and simple things you can do too. As Bob is describing synthetic imagination and then creative imagination, which are both aspects of this faculty we have called the imagination, consider the computer as an exampling of how the mind works. If you only use what's on your desktop or in the files of your computer, you don't have nearly the capability that is yours once you learn how to use the internet. Somewhere, sometime, somebody showed you how to get on the internet. And it was like a world opened up to you. This is what we're talking about. Only the internet we know through the computer is like the veneer to the mind of the infinite that you already have a connection to once you learn how to use it. This is what Edison called the land of the solution. He was teased mercilessly for sitting in a rocking chair with a rock in his hand over a tin bucket, learning to get quiet and ask questions that were of interest to him about the inventions he wanted to make. If you go to the Smithsonian Institute and you see the Edison exhibit, you'll see his journal, where he wrote a statement that said, "I shall discover and deliver for the world a system of illumination to completely eliminate our current requirement on oil lamp illumination." Now, he had no idea how to do that, but he had an idea of what he wanted to do. He wanted to create a system of illumination, and he learned how to use this inner internet. He learned how to use the faculties of the mind that Bob and I are offering to you, and you learn them by exploring them, experimenting into them. And it starts with, what would you love?
Talking about Edison, and he wanted this system of illumination. Well, Napoleon Hill said that the creative imagination is the faculty through which hunches and inspiration, what's that? In spirit, inspiration, are received. It is by this faculty that all basic new ideas are handed over to you. It's through this faculty that through vibrations of the mind of others are received. It's through this faculty that one individual may tune in or communicate with the subconscious mind of others. You see, the creative imagination works automatically in the manner that all of this work was done. The creative imagination is what causes you to tune in where all information comes from. If you're struggling right now, you may not really see how that will work. But go and take your synthetic imagination and take a look at what you've got and say, how could I improve what I've got? Now flip back to your creative imagination. Edison asked the universe, asked pure and unadulterated spirit, asked infinite intelligence to give him an idea that would illuminate the world. Edison is no different than you. In fact, you may be better equipped than he was. Do you know that he only went to school for 3 months? That's right. So even if you don't believe it, try it. What if it's right? What if it does work? Mary, you didn't believe it when you first heard it. I sure didn't believe it when I first heard it. I thought, this is a bunch of nonsense. Ray Stanford, who was my mentor, he looked at me square in the eye, and he said, "Bob, your way's not working. Why don't you try mine?" And that's what he had me do. Sit down with my imagination and build an image of the kind of life I want to live, the kind of world I want to live in. And that's what I want to recommend you do. Mary and I were sitting talking this morning, and we were both in a very grateful vibration, a very grateful state of mind for how we are living. That's all we could talk about, is how fortunate we are to be living in the world we're living in. But understand this, it's one we chose. It did not happen by accident. It's when I made up my mind I wanted more, and I created an image of what I wanted in my mind. That's when it started to happen. And that's what we want to recommend you do. Because as you get into the remainder of this program, there's five other phenomenal faculties, mental tools that you can use to shape your world the way you want. And I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of help out there just waiting to serve you. But you have to ask for it. You have to be open for it. My great mentor taught me one time, Val Vandewall, he says, you have to willingly give and graciously receive. Well, we're willingly giving this to you. You've got to graciously receive it. Mary?
Yes, and experiment with it. Henry David Thoreau said, I'm going to do an experiment with these same ideas that we're sharing with you now. And he built a place that he lived, what he called deliberately, in an experiment for 2 years and 2 months and 2 days. And then he wrote his essay about that experiment. And he said, I've learned this at least by my experiment, that if one advances confidently in the direction of their dream, endeavoring to live the life they're imagining, living the life they are imagining, this is the first faculty. And this life, whatever it is that you would love to have, it first starts in a picture. The table that might be in the room where you're sitting, the car that might be the one you're driving, it all started as an imagining. So what we're suggesting to you is do an experiment with your life at least during the course of this program and listen to it several times. Give the material the opportunity to prove itself to you, as Bob and I gave ourselves the opportunity to let it prove itself to us. Our lives didn't bear witness to the power of this material. Our lives bore witness to the thinking that we'd been doing, even though we didn't know that that thinking was creative. I thought life was happening to me, and I thought that certain people were lucky, or certain people had the blessing of some sort of capricious universe that picked those to favor and those to disfavor. And I had no understanding, just like electricity. It doesn't matter if you're in a shack or a mansion, you can have light wherever you want. And the universe willingly unveils itself to any one of us who will get in harmony with how it works. You have been given an imagination.
If we just go back for a moment and think of the opening comments, where we suggested you really get involved in this, you're going to find your old notions gradually falling off from us. And they will. You know, the idea that you couldn't turn your annual income to a monthly income, or that you couldn't build a relationship that would be second to none, or that you couldn't build a business in the worst economy, that you couldn't make the things that you want happen, well, all those old ideas, they're going to fall away. And you're going to wake up to the fact that we're living in an entirely different world to the one that we formerly recognized. The old limited mode of thought has imperceptibly slipped away from us. And we discover that we've stepped out into a new order of things where freedom is what it's all about. You see, your soul screams to be free. This is the work of an enlightened intelligence. That's where you're going, resulting from persistent determination to discover what truth really is all about, irrespective of any of those preconceived notions from whatever other source they may have derived. The determination to think honestly for ourselves instead of endeavoring to get other people to think for us is the first step in moving in the direction of your dreams. And the first faculty that you want to put into high gear is your imagination, because that's the one that is going to be the architect of your future. You are going to design your world, and I want to recommend that you stop right here and right now and sit down and remember, don't pay any attention to what the people next door are saying. Don't listen to the person you work beside or the brother-in-law that tell you this is all crazy. Understand, this is not crazy. Mary and I are happy, healthy, and wealthy. We're working all over the world. We're building wonderful relationships. And what we're telling you is how we've done it, and we want to invite you to do the same thing. Mary, I'll leave the closing comment up to you.
I would invite you to do exactly what Bob just invited you to do, and that is pause now, sit down with a piece of paper that is blank, and then go into that inner chamber inside you where you can go as big and wide and deep as you want. You can dream up any possible future. Part of you is going to argue, I don't have the money, I don't have the time, I'm too old, I'm too young, I don't have the education. For this exercise, it doesn't matter. For now, just say to those thoughts, I'll deal with you later. Right now, just like when you were a kid, you could imagine into any life you want. The real question isn't what do you think you can create. The only right question in this experience is what would you love? What would you love to create? What does the life look like that you would love to create, and begin to write it down? Make sure that it's about your own physical well-being, that it's about your relationships, that it's about the work or the creations you're doing in the world, what you would love to do with your time. Do you travel? What is this? What about your kids or your family or your friends? And what do you do as service in the world? Whatever it is that interests you, what is the life I would love to live? Imagine it, write it down, and then you'll be ready for the next step.
Everything you will ever be, do, or have, good and bad, is born in your imagination. In this session, Bob and Mary have shared with you some incredibly effective strategies for harnessing your miraculous imagination and directing it toward the concrete manifestation of your desires and the creation of the future you want. Join us now for session 2, in which Bob and Mary reveal the next of the 6 gifts.